up? This is Movies On Up discussion episode. Carrie and Carrie. Every teen has terrible thoughts. Hers are deadly. I am Dave, joined by the remake to my original, Ryan.
I was hoping you would call me maybe the Tommy to your Carrie.
Or the Rage to my Carrie.
Ooh, no, not that.
But we are Ryan and Dave. We are Movies On Up. The tagline this week is, every teen has terrible thoughts. Hers are deadly. You may have just gotten a hint right there in our sloppy opening. If you know what movie that is from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup, or on moviesonup.com. We're continuing with our Halloween episodes, with our October month of horror movie episodes. In this one, we're just going to talk Carrie, the 1976 Brian De, six, six
1976.
Or seven, 76 Brian De Palma classic, I guess.
Sure.
And the new 2013 Kimberly Pierce's
instant classic
Carrie. Ryan, you got some box office on both of those.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start with this year's Carrie. Made $16.1 million at the box office here domestically. That was good for third place behind Gravity and Captain Phillips. 1976, I don't actually have its opening weekend, but that film did make $33.8 million in the box office. Good for 1,997th place on the list of all-time domestic grossing films. Do you want to guess what was 1998?
Grizzly.
No. Also a movie from 1976. It was Where the Heart Is.
Natalie Portman giving birth in a Walmart.
1996. A movie that you like very much.
Gremlins?
No. Thomas Jane's Punisher.
Oh, I do like that movie.
You do like that movie. And it clocks in just one spot above Brian De Palma's classic from 1976, Carrie.
We don't talk box office very much on this show anymore, but I'm going to take a second to do it because I'm obsessed with box office. Carrie, opening up number three. Fairly interesting because we mentioned in our fall preview, there's no horror movies opening in December or in October. This is the closest we get to it. And it's got Chloe Moretz, who has a decent fame, especially amongst young.
Julianne Moore, I mean.
It's a high school movie, so you'd think the younger kids would come out. And yet, $16 million in mid-October is not bad, but you compare it to, you know, the Paranormal Activities usually open in the 30 or 40 range. I don't feel the studio pushed it that much. They held off on showing it to a lot of critics, which is
never
usually
a
sign of death. And the critics that did see it didn't really have much to say about it.
Conversely, I think the studio pushed the hell out of it. I think people knew about the movie. I am shocked that it didn't make more money. In that fall preview episode, I know we had kind of looked at the fact that there is no Paranormal Activity. There is no Saw movie. There really is, in terms of actual horror movies, Carrie is kind of the only one in October. There were a couple, we mentioned Bad Milo and Hell Baby in the VOD market, but they're not your traditional, they're horror comedy movies. This was kind of your, you know, wide release standalone horror movie. And we thought that, you know, whether it was good or bad, you know, it was going to do well because it really had no other competition, but it didn't really do all that well. I don't know why. It's not a bad movie by any means, but I am shocked that it's third place opening weekend in October.
And it's interesting because the top movies above it, Gravity and Captain Phillips, which we're going to be hearing a lot about in January around Oscar time. So are we at the phase where October is no longer horror movie month? Because I've said forever, January is a good dumping ground for horror movies.
And that's where Paranormal Activity is going to show up.
And just before this movie, there were two trailers for horror movies, both found footage, coming out in January. So it's almost like that's where we're putting our horror movies now. And Halloween be damned, I don't know if it's that people don't want to go out or that they'd rather just be home watching horror movies. Or
people do. I mean, when Saw was in theaters, before it got to the point
of... And Paranormal Activities.
Right, yeah. People went out to see those, especially on opening weekend. Maybe they didn't see it, you know, it might have taken a 50, 60% dip the following week, but opening weekends were always strong. Maybe this opened too early, I guess, too early in the month. Maybe it would have done better this week. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know what comes out this week, The Counselor, Bad Grandpa. Nothing, again, that would be really
horror competition. Yeah, and I thought it had the teen market. I mean, it's at its core, it's a high school movie, and it's a decent high school movie. But enough about the box office on that. Let's talk about Carrie overall, not specific to either movie, but it's a very well-known story based on the book by Stephen King. One of, I think, his better books, because it's not, it's before Stephen King fell in the trap of being Stephen King, so it doesn't really have a lot of what I dislike about Stephen King's writings. It's a slow burn, both the book and the movies, but why is it such a classic still? Everybody knows it. Whether you've seen the 76 movie or the 2002 remake with Angela Betts or this new one, like, everybody knows the iconic pig's blood scene. What about this story has made it so relevant for almost, what, 45 years?
I do think
35 years?
Sometimes you know lines from movies that you don't really know what movie it came from.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Exactly. I've had people do that, but probably not realize that it's from Carrie.
Most people our age probably think it's from that first Adam Sandler record.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was the title of the record, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what makes things stick on a younger generation. I mean, I guess if you grew up with this movie in 1976, this would have been, you know, if I was in high school, you know, when this book came out and when the movie came out, that'd probably be pretty rad.
Yeah, I think the book was 74.
It seemed like in the 70s, I think we mentioned it when I talked a little bit about Christine, that movie was in production even before the book was out. They didn't let the dust settle on Stephen King properties in that time. And rightfully so. I mean, they all did seem like they were relatively successful, at least more so than now. I actually think that this was the 9th most commercially successful Stephen King property. I mean, don't quote me on that, but it's definitely not the most. I think The Green Mile is by far and away the most successful. It's hard to answer why this is such a classic. I think maybe it really affected people in 76, so that throughout the 80s, maybe when we were growing up, it was kind of, I don't want to say it was a meme, but there were parts of it that definitely had infiltrated the culture at that point, and it was kind of very culturally relevant in the late 70s and into the 80s as well. So I think that's just probably by osmosis we picked it up.
On to the original one, the Brian De Palma one, starring Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, Greatest American Hero, John Travolta, Nancy Allen. Is it worthy of the praise it gets now? Is it a classic? Do you think it's that good of a film?
I think it's all right. I've not read the book, so I don't know, you know, in terms of an adaptation from the book, how it stacks up. I think that it was a well-made movie. There are parts of it that I really, really like. Do I love it? No. I do think that Sissy Spacek was really good in it, and I'm not the only one that thinks that. I believe she was nominated for an Oscar, wasn't she?
I know Piper. I thought Piper Laurie was.
No, you might be right. I guess we could double-check that.
Keep talking. I'll look it up.
But at any rate, yeah, I think that both of the leads were very good in that 76 movie. So on that front, yeah, I guess it deserves credit as being a classic. Whomever, you know, got nominated, if either of them did or if both of them did, that's not something you really see from horror movies. So to get an acting nomination either for, you know, best lead actress or best supporting actress is really saying something for the performance.
They were both nominated.
Oh, even the better then. Saying something for the performance and for the directing of De Palma, who I like. This was maybe a little bit before his, I kind of think, his wheelhouse, but I think he did a good job of at least making the character feel relatable and sympathetic. Because, I mean, in the end, she ends up being a murderer, but, you know, you kind of are rooting for her when she's killing everyone.
Here's my
spoiler alert.
I mean, Spacek was good and Piper Laurie were good, but as weird as it sounds, I almost feel like they were underused. For a movie called Carrie, it rarely felt like it was about Carrie. It focused more on the Nancy Allen character and then the the other character.
Yeah. And the old one, it was the nice brunette and the mean blonde.
Yeah, and then the Greatest American Hero and John Travolta. And I feel like it focused on them more, and Carrie and her mom were kind of background. Maybe I'm off base here. That's how I felt. I didn't feel like Carrie and her mom were at the forefront for the majority of the movie.
I would agree with you maybe on Piper Laurie, but I do think that Carrie was, as much as she could have been, in the forefront. I mean, there were a fair amount of scenes that didn't involve her, especially the scenes with John Travolta and Nancy Allen just kind of running around trying to set up what ultimately was the prank. But I think that the time that Sissy Spacek was on screen, I mean, she was really good.
She was very
good. And I think the same thing for Piper Laurie. So even if their, you know, time spent on screen wasn't a ridiculous amount, I think it was used well. So I don't think they were underused.
But
you're wrong.
I don't know. It just felt like Carrie wasn't center stage a lot.
Oh, she was at the very end of the movie.
She was at the end, yeah. But the getting up
to that.
She was
standing in the center of the stage.
Oh, goodness. The original earns its R right away.
Yes.
With lots of high school titties.
Lots of rug.
It earns that R rating, like, immediately. Maybe it's me. It seemed a little gratuitous. A lot of the nudity, a lot of the sex stuff seemed a little too much for no reason. Like, I just felt like it was shoehorned in there.
I do agree to a certain extent. I mean, did I need to see the bush? No, not really. If you're going to be in a high school locker room, okay, you're going to see a boob or two. Like, I think I'm all right with that. I'm definitely all right with that. But I do kind of agree that maybe it took a while to get to Carrie.
Yeah.
We panned the entire locker room.
And even the Travolta, Nancy Allen, BJ scene just felt like a little too much. Like, it just seemed a little too gratuitous. Like, I have this high school girl doing this for the sake of doing this.
On the one hand, I understand where you're coming from, but I thought it was a fun way to convince somebody to do something.
It just seemed like, I understand the point of that scene, but it felt drawn out when it didn't need to be.
It did feel drawn out, and I don't understand how she was able to talk so clearly during
Yes.
it.
Yes, yeah, that was that.
So maybe
too.
There was nothing going on there, and we're just kind of barking up the wrong tree.
But I mean, acting-wise, it was good. I thought everybody did good. Greatest American Hero was fantastic. Like, he was charming, and that was one of my things that we'll get into later. Is I thought, how do you top that level of charm? I mean, Nancy Allen was good for what she was. Travolta, minimal in it, which I'm fine with.
Sure.
So acting-wise, it was good. How do you feel about De Palma's overall direction?
I hate to beat a dead horse, so to speak, but you got a nomination for Sissy Spacek. You got a nomination for Piper Laurie. So as your director, I think that's excellent. Actually, I thought the direction in this movie was better than the new one. I liked some of the things he did with, like, the split screen.
See, that's where we're going to disagree. Probably. Because that's my complaint. Overall, the iconic scene, the prom scene,
right?
I wasn't 100% on board with how it was done. I didn't like the long, drawn-out silence. I understood where it was going to. I thought it was maybe a little too drawn out, and you're missing some key stuff. I wanted to hear Sue character argue with Miss Delorier or whatever.
Yeah.
I wanted to see. I do like that the slow following the rope. Like, I liked that. I just felt there could have been better character stuff without the silence. I was not into the split screen. Very anti-split screen. It felt like a cheap parlor trick. And once the lights went out, the red, I thought, was a little too much on the whatever he was trying to do, be it symbolism.
Too much on the nose.
Yeah. So I just felt like it was a little too much. I realize it's a very iconic scene, but I just didn't like the way it was handled, really. I didn't like the silence. I didn't like the split screen. I didn't like the red. And that sums up a lot of that scene.
Yeah, and those are all three things I did like. I liked the silence that you couldn't hear them arguing because, I mean, you at that point, you are inside the head of the main character. As she's just been crowned prom queen, she's totally engaged in the moment and not really paying attention what else is going on. Yeah, she's not going to hear that. Because, I mean, if you did hear it, you know, maybe she'd have been tipped off and could have put something together. So, I mean, I did like all that. I liked the fact that it was, you know, red, because not only was that, you know, for the blood, but also for the fire. I think that it was very representative of the scene. Maybe they could have used red hues rather than just completely having everything red.
I think that was my problem, and the fact that it didn't fully commit to it, because it's only red for the first part of that climactic scene. Then it goes back. Either be more subtle about it or commit to it fully.
I guess I could see where you're coming from there, but I still thought that...
Or vice versa. Or give me full color and then go to the red. I think flip-flop where the red is used, I think, makes more sense.
Fair enough. That one, I'm not going to argue on that much. For what it was worth, I liked the split screen. I liked the idea of... You know, I mean, you could have used just quick cuts to show like everything kind of happening at once, but I liked the fact that, you know, you saw it all happening at once. It was a bit disorienting, so to speak, and I guess it would have been if you were a prom goer at that point. One of the things that I liked the most about this movie in comparison to the new one was when Carrie was doing her telekinesis, there wasn't a lot of gesticulating, not a lot of arm movements. And I'm good with that because you don't need them.
Yeah,
it's that, telekinesis.
No, I understand that. That I do like, that it was just
it was her
much,
looks.
Yeah.
And that's, especially in this scene, you know, she was looking at the door. She was not like Darth Vadering. And
yeah.
I like that.
But I mean, overall, the scene with the mom at the end, I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Because that was the meat of the movie, is those two actresses. Those two performances carried the movie. And
yes.
Then now you're giving them what I wanted the whole time. And then the very, very end, I could almost do without. The
dream sequence thing?
Yeah, the last shot. But overall, it was good. Like, it's a good movie. I'm not going to say it wasn't a good movie. Do I think it's a class? I think their acting alone makes it, that's why it stood up for so long, and that's why it's been, I think they're more to blame for it than De Palma, because what I didn't about it lies on De Palma, and that's just my personal opinion. I mean, De Palma's had a pretty solid career since then.
Right.
So I can't really, maybe it's just me, but did you rewatch this before seeing it or after?
I went with the new one first, and then I rewatched 76.
Did you have, what were your biggest concerns going into, or biggest concerns or things you wanted to see, things you were interested in going into it?
I think going into it, you know, hearing you go on and on and on about how both Chloe Grace Moretz and Juliette Lewis were...
Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Juliette Lewis would have been an interesting choice.
Yeah, I guess it would have. I think she'd have been good, too,
she
though. Yeah, but I mean, I like what Julianne Moore did. But how those two would absolutely be nominated for Oscars, I was curious to see what they would do. I mean, I think they're both fine. It's not like I didn't think they were capable of a good performance. But that was kind of the thing I most wanted to see. And then secondary to that is kind of... And it's what I feel about remakes, reboots, however you want to call it. You know, if you're going to do one, I would like there to be a reason that you're doing it. You know, make it either in your own style. And that's where I've said how much I hate the fact that Spike Lee is doing Old Boy. But if Spike Lee does it like a Spike Lee joint, then I will say, okay, good on you. There's a reason to do it. And I, you know, he's got his own style, and I really hope that he does something interesting with it rather than just do what they did with this Carrie, and that's essentially make the same damn movie.
See, I'll disagree to an extent. Going in, I was interested how they would deal with the violence on women, because Miss Delorier would de jure it.
Slaps the hell out of her a couple times.
She slaps Carrie in the beginning. That one I get. But then she slaps Chris later. She smacks the Chris character later. And then Travolta smacks Chris twice. So it's like, these are kind of just casual batteries against women. So I was interested how it would handle that. My other big complaint, I thought in the middle, the getting ready for prom scene got too light. And it was too long.
In 76.
In 76, yeah. Because that was another complaint about De Palma's thing, is that it just felt out of place. Like, it just felt too...
Like they needed a comedy scene, so they had
and that
the
was
dudes.
It, because that was the only humor in the movie, and it just felt shoehorned in. But then I was interested to see bullying now is way more prevalent than in 76. Like, it's way more of a social
it's
issue.
It's different.
It's more of a social issue now than just something you have to deal with. I was wondering if that would be beaten over the head, if the message of, hey, don't bully, would be shoved down our throats. And I was wondering how much, because not just bullying, cyberbullying, I was wondering how much social media would play into it. Because I thought you can't update the story and do it now without having at least a social media element
right.
to it. We're going to go on to the new one now. My concerns, she slaps Carrie at the beginning, but it's addressed.
Yeah.
She apologizes. Right. Like, I'm sorry. I, you know, the Travolta character never slaps Sue or Chris, and then she doesn't slap Chris either. So, I mean, there's just the one slap, and it's addressed. So that I found interesting just because it's such a different time now. Overall, what are your thoughts on the remake?
I mean, overall, I thought it was derivative. I mean, there are slight differences between the two. Many of the differences are the things that you just talked about. But everything else, I mean, the dialogue is almost the exact same. You know, the sequence of events are almost the exact same. It was updated in that, yeah, there was that element of cyber, I guess, cyberbullying with everything.
It wasn't beat
online.
Over the head, though.
No, it wasn't beat over the head. I agree with
which
you there.
Which I liked.
And I think that needed to happen. And I think, like, the fashion, I guess, was updated.
Yeah.
People weren't running around with perms. But overall, I thought there was so much more they could have done with the remake. I think this would have been fine if you had never seen the 76 one. But if you have seen 1976's, I don't see any reason why you should go see this. None.
Again, we're going to disagree because I liked it more than the original, not just because it's newer and I'm not like the classic film guy, but I like the 76 version, but I like my complaints about that one. This one does better. I feel like all the characters were done better, whereas I felt like Piper Laurie and Sissy Spacek were kind of underused and they didn't feel like the center of the movie until the end. I felt like this did a fantastic job building that Julianne Moore and Chloe Moretz relationship. I thought it gave them a lot more moments to shine. And I thought the two of them, I thought they both delivered. I thought Julianne Moore took it to a whole other level.
She was really good.
She was fantastic. And I wouldn't be opposed to her getting nominated. I thought it was Oscar quality. But I also thought Moretz, if she got a nomination, I wouldn't complain because I thought they brought so much to those characters that even though I knew the relationship, I still wanted to watch it play out because the two of them acting face to face absolutely carried the movie. I thought the scenes with those two together, which in this one, there were more of them, I thought were worth the price of admission alone.
The scenes with the two of them were very good. And I liked, I don't know if it was necessarily a choice that Julianne Moore made or if it was the director with the self-mutilation.
That was driven home a lot more.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. I thought that was really, that was one of the few things about this movie that I thought, oh boy, they dropped the ball.
It's touched on in the 76 one.
Briefly,
but this one really drives it home.
Yeah.
And I thought really set it up a lot more.
Yeah, so I mean, I did like that. And I think the scenes that Julianne Moore and Chloe Grace Moretz were in together were pretty good, but I think it's largely because of Julianne Moore. The scenes where Chloe Moretz was kind of on her own, I didn't think she was that good. As kind of like the trying to be the happy regular teenager, I thought she was fine. But when she had to be, you know, the weirdo, I that looked forced. And I didn't think that was very good at all.
I think that's
Sissy Spacek, that seemed, and maybe it's just because she is weird. I don't know.
Sissy Spacek looks like she could be an outsider.
Yes.
Chloe Moretz is gorgeous. So, I mean, it's hard to.
Well, yeah, they had to Rachel Lee Cook her. And then, like, her acting, I think, drew more attention to it because it seemed like she was really trying to, let me actively think what it would be like to be, you know, kind of an outsider. Okay, now let me do that. It didn't seem natural at all, whereas Spacek's performance did seem
natural. I guess
I
read it differently because Sissy Spacek did it so naturally.
Yeah.
So I don't think she had to put as much into it, whereas Chloe Grace Moretz feeling unnatural, I almost think works in there. Like, even in the way you're saying, I think it makes sense because of the character. She doesn't know what she's doing. Like, she didn't even know about periods. Like,
yeah, but I mean,
she was homeschooled until sixth grade.
That scene, she looked like someone who was trying to act scared rather than someone who was scared. And as an actor, I've never won an Academy Award, but that's kind of your job, is to not look like you're acting, is to make it believable. And I didn't believe at that point that was real. I never bought in.
All right. Well, we disagree there because I thought she delivered. I thought she was good. I thought Julianne Moore was great, especially their scenes together. I thought all the other side characters were better developed in this one. I feel like, is it Sue or Peg? I forget the name of the
It's Sue.
It's Sue, the blonde one in this one. It's the nice blonde and the evil brunette. So they flip-flopped that. I thought Sue was great in this. I thought her motivations and her the struggle she was having within herself, I thought was dealt with better. Tommy, it was Ross in this one, Tommy Rees with Greatest American Hero. When he first shows up, it's like, oh, he's not going to top Greatest American Hero.
He did.
Then the dude lays out the charm. Yeah. This kid, I should look up the actor's name because he did fantastic.
I would have gone to prom with him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Greatest American Hero did such a good job with being the charming, like, he's genuinely nice.
Ansel Elgort. Ansel, good job.
He did so good. And
maybe you ought to just go by Tommy Ross from here on out.
Yeah, but I thought he was good. He was charming. He felt genuine. And Sue felt genuine the whole time. And where in the original, if you catch up later, you almost might think that they're in on it.
But that's what I prefer. The mom lays it out like they're trying to trick you. Carrie says, I feel like if Tommy just asked me to prom, they're just going to trick me again. I liked the fact that in the old one, you really weren't sure if she was in on it. And especially Greatest American Hero, he never seemed like he was fully on board with this. Whereas young Ansel, he did seem like he was a pretty good dude the whole time.
And I guess we're just differing opinions on this because I like that we got their motivations more. And I thought that Portia Doubleday as Chris, she was evil. I think Nancy Allen was a bitch. Portia Doubleday came across as just pure evil.
Yes.
And I thought Alex Russell was the Travolta character. I thought he was even more, I mean, he wasn't Travolta. It's hard to look at Travolta and think, like, evil dude. This dude looks like a bastard, like a son of a bitch. Like, I just feel like all those subplots were better developed in this one.
Like, I think they did kind of, like, I don't want to say they dumbed things down, but they were like, okay, these two are evil in the new one. These two are good, and then there's Carrie that's kind of somewhere in the middle. Whereas the old one, it was just kind of like, everybody's kind of a dick, but you got to figure out who's really the dick.
Yeah, so I guess dumbing it down does make sense. Like, that's a good analogy. And the stuff I'm praising it for, I guess, is dumbing it down a little bit. But I think it built the characters better.
Well, yeah, it did. It spelled them out. And dumbing it down is probably, that gives it a connotation as
it's, but it's accurate.
Not as
I understand
good
you
as.
Didn't mean it as an
they
insult.
They spelled
but
it out for
they
you.
Spelled it out a little bit more. And then all the side characters, that just the way they started reacting towards Sue, to where Sue became the outsider that Carrie was, just because of her trying to do the right thing. But as far as, you know, comparing them, I complained about the getting ready for prom scene being too lighthearted and drawn out in the original. This one was pretty lighthearted, but it didn't feel as out of place, and it was a lot briefer. It was a lot more concise. It was there. I liked the shot with the twins. Like, that was a cool thing, and it got to the point quicker, and it didn't feel out of place because there was, with the principal was funny every time he was on the screen, especially, like, the not being able to say the period.
Yeah.
And him when Judy Greer and Carrie are talking, and he just looks like he wants to be anywhere else in the world.
Like any dude would.
Yeah, like, I liked his character, and there was at least some humor before that. And it was brief, and it got to the point. So I like that. And then overall, they really upped the stakes on the prom scene.
They did.
They really, I think they drove home, again, maybe dumbed it down, more how good it felt for her to be a regular girl. Like, I feel this one drove home, like, this is all she wants is a night like this. Like, this makes up for everything because she feels normal and because of Tommy.
I think they did a pretty decent job of that in the original,
they
too.
They did decent. I feel it was done a little better in this. And maybe just because he's so much. I honestly think he topped Greatest American Hero. And Both of those performances, both Tommies, I thought were great.
I think you're right. I think they were slightly different characters, and I think they each did almost a perfect job for what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
I liked not knowing whether Tommy really wanted to be there with her or not. So maybe I'm looking more at William Catt going, oh boy, I like that one. But then for the guy that wants to be genuine, I got that.
Because, I mean, he stood up for – I like the classroom scene where he stands up for
– Greatest American Hero did too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, there are so many things that are very – almost the same except, you know, in the new one, it's Carrie's poem that Ansel likes. But in the old Carrie, it's flipped around the other way.
Where I didn't like the silence, like I do like that you see Sue's reaction. I still think Miss Dujardin or whatever, Judy Greer.
Dujardin.
A little too brash, where she seems pretty level-headed for the most part. It was almost like she had pegged Sue from the beginning and not willing to listen to reason. Like, why would Sue be there causing a fuss if she's behind it? So, I mean, I like that you got to see, like, Sue pleading with her. I do like that more than the silence.
You get to hear it.
Yes, I do like that. I could do without the triple or quadruple take of the bucket spilling over. That is the same as the split screen to me, where I didn't like that. Like, I'd rather just see it happen and then just get the reaction and not see it happen three or four times. But then the actual prom scene, I like this one a lot more. Maybe it's because I do like the – not that I'm a gore hound, but I like – I'm sorry, twins getting trampled, stuff getting thrown at people. I like that more than, no, crazy fire hose is attacking us. Like,
in 76, you were kind of limited, you know, with what you could do effects-wise. So that was very different. The things that I didn't like about this one – the idea that, you know, she's going to literally pull a Darth Vader and choke the gym teacher and then not kill her. So Carrie's still got a heart of gold. I think that really changes that character.
That's my biggest that's one of my biggest. I have three major complaints about the prom scene. I don't like the triple take. The second one is when the gym teacher in the original dies. That's like gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
That's a brutal scene because through the whole thing, she's the only one that's been on Carrie the whole time. She's the
not her mom. You know,
she's
any
the only
of the girls.
One that's been pro Carrie the entire time. So to see her die in such a brutal way, it rips your heart out, and it really makes you realize, like, oh, Carrie's
she's
gone.
She's gone off the deep end.
Carrie is just gone. Like, this is her only friend the entire movie, and she's gone now. Like, so I don't like that Judy Greer was spared, although in my little heart of hearts, I was dreading watching Judy Greer die because I did like her a lot. I loved her as the gym teacher, her dancing at the prom. But I love Judy Greer.
Right.
So I didn't want to see her die, but yet I needed to see her die, if that makes any sense. Like, I felt...
Yeah, it lessens the character, the main character of the movie.
Carrie isn't Carrie at that point. Saving the gym teacher, there's still a little bit of Carrie in there.
Yeah. I didn't like her levitation either.
No, that was the third thing I didn't like about that. I didn't like the David Blaining out of the school. But, I mean, overall, I like the chaos of the prom scene. I like that she stuck the twins down. I like that she was throwing stuff that was on fire. I like all that stuff. I thought the scene was fantastic, minus saving Judy Greer, the triple take, and the levitation.
Yeah, except for those three things.
But everything else I loved a lot. And then the comeuppance for Chris and Travolta, I like this way a lot more.
Yeah, I'll give you that because it did seem
Got to look her in the eyes as she took her last breath.
Like, yeah.
Nancy Allen and Travolta kind of got off easy.
I guess they got off. Oh, yeah, maybe they got off easy. It just seemed like that was very abrupt. Like, she's just kind of walking down the road.
Oh, they're going to hit her.
No, they're not. That's it. This one was very much more drawn out.
Which I liked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in fairness, those were the dicks. You know, they were jerks. Comeuppance is a good word. They had it coming. And for everybody else that she had just killed, you know, she really went out of her way, especially with Chris, to make sure that she kind of suffered. And she had it coming, I guess. I mean,
I liked the way all that was shot, too. The the slow motion to see Travolta's face smash against the steering wheel. I like that.
Which would have been awfully hard to do in 1976.
Yeah, I understand that. But the car flips over and it blows up. How's she making stuff blow up? I like that they avoided that.
In 76, things just, have you ever seen an episode of the A-Team? I mean, good God, I don't know. Cars flip over and blow up. It's just, it happens. It's the
but
thing.
I mean, so that's all the, and I like that it spilled out a little more past the high school, because I like the shot from above where the car with Travolta and Nancy Allen are driving away, and the stuff's just blowing up around them. Like, Carrie's just trying to do anything to get them. I could do without the floor collapsing, the street collapsing, but I like the scene of stopping the car. Like, I like that. I thought that was a very cool. I understand you couldn't do that in 76,
yeah.
But I thought that was awesome.
Fine. Yeah.
And I like the way it was shot. I like the throwing the car and the head through the windshield. Like, I thought that was a better feel-good moment than just, I'm going to flip the car over and blow it up.
Yeah, that I agree with you. I didn't think there was really anything wrong with that scene, whereas, you know, I didn't like the prom scene from the new movie, but I thought this ending for those characters was a lot better, and you did feel like they probably needed to suffer a little bit, and they definitely, well, I mean, at least Chris did. I mean, what's his face? Billy Nolan. I mean, he bit it pretty quick, and that was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I like the overall, once stuff hit the fan, I like how it went down in this one more. Even with those complaints, I guess maybe it's just that I like the gore, but I like the brutality of the prom scene other than just, oh, that crazy fire hose. Like, so I like that. And then you get the Julianne Moore and Chloe Grace Moretz face-to-face again. I thought that was done pretty well. Not very far off until the very end of that scene, which we have a different Carrie in this movie than in the 76.
Yeah.
76 Carrie, if Sue shows up in the original, she goes down with the house.
Yes.
Whereas this one, Carrie has something in her heart. She sees that she's pregnant and gets her out of there.
Yeah.
And then Sue didn't go crazy at the end.
Yeah. I think that pretty much after the scene where she dealt with, you know, her two main, I guess, the two banes of her existence, at that point I thought the movie kind of went in the crapper a little bit.
Both versions.
I like the original better for a couple reasons. The death scene when Carrie kills her mom, in the first one, it seemed very drawn out because she, like, repeatedly stabbed her. You know, it was not just like, I've kind of lost control and I just do it all at once. Like in the new one, when pretty much everything sharp just went in to Julianne Moore right there, she was making conscientious decisions to continually stab her mother. And I liked that better. I liked that Carrie better. And then I liked the idea of them kind of going back as the house is going down. She drags her mom back into the prayer closet. Like, I thought that was I thought it was symmetrical, and I liked it a lot. They didn't do that in the new one, did they?
No,
she just kind of, yeah.
But I do like that. I really like the scene after Julianne Moore dies, and that's when Sue comes in. I really like, it's a different Carrie. We've already established that, and this is what makes this Carrie make sense. I do really like her looking at Sue and saying, I'm scared. Like, this Carrie has self-awareness of what she just did, whereas Sissy Spacek didn't. It's just written different. I don't know that I prefer one over the other. I just liked that scene, just her holding her dead mom that she just killed and just saying, like, I'm scared because it's gone too far. But overall, leading up, I liked that in the new one, her playing with her powers more. That I felt was kind of avoided in the first one. It was done a little bit, but there was more stuff with Carrie discovering her powers in the new one.
I mean, that scene with her kind of levitating the bed and everything, I think that was kind of more, you know, to relate it to Chronicle when they were kind of screwing around trying to figure out, you know, what they could do. It seemed like, you know, the old Carrie wasn't really trying to hone her powers. Like, she really wasn't that thrilled with having them. She just could do it, and she did it almost when it happened. She wasn't trying to do it. It was just kind of an extension, and that's why I think that her losing control was I liked better in the old one.
I think my biggest complaint about this is it Jurassic Parked it. I mean, we use that.
With
the very beginning, the first movie starts just right in high
with
school.
With Carrie, right.
Starts with Carrie. It doesn't start like a horror movie. So you don't really know what you're getting into, but because of dumb viewers now, I guess, I don't want to... People demand more, so you can't release that kind of slow burn in a mainstream. So you kind of have the origin story at the beginning, quote unquote, that kind of sets the tone of like, oh, this is a horror movie. And then it starts at the volleyball. So, I mean, I don't like that. Just start the movie. I don't need the birth scene, although Julianne Moore was great in that scene.
Yeah.
And I like the full circle at the end with the scissors and the knife, like
scissors
to the face.
And the knife, and then there's somebody else that's pregnant.
That's the Jurassic Park theory. Where I liked it in Jurassic Park. This it didn't need it though. Like it's a high school movie. Yes, it's a horror movie, but I think at its core, it's a high school movie. It's about a girl that doesn't fit in,
right?
Not about why she is how she is. So I didn't like that, but
I think it did a good job of establishing Julianne Moore's character and where, you know, she kind of fits in with being a real nutbag.
Which I liked in the original, how it was set up the first time. Because in this one, when Carrie's like, oh, don't call my mom, don't call my mom. Mm. You know why.
Right.
Whereas in the original, it's like, what's... You know, you just had a period. What's the deal? So I didn't like that, but that was it. I mean, I had complaints about both of them. I think they're both really good movies. I think I prefer the newer one. But overall, was it worth it? Like, it's such a...
I don't think it was. And, I mean, I think I've already said that. I think they're both fine. I mean, I guess if I had to flip between one or the other... I guess having seen the new one, knowing what I know now, if I could advise myself, past self from this weekend, to say like, hey, don't bother, because it's pretty much what you've already seen. That's what I would tell people. If you've seen the 76 one, maybe you'll like this one better, but it's not, you know, it's not night and day, I don't think.
No, it's not night and day. I mean, I have picks. I like stuff about each one of them. I feel like the acting, it's a real testament. I watched the 76 one this morning on demand, and then I went to the movies in the afternoon. So I knew what was going to happen, but yet I still liked because of the performances, because of the Sue character, the Chris character, the Greatest American Hero character, Chloe Grace Moretz and Julianne Moore. Like, I knew what was happening, but I was still so interested in watching them, and... I don't know. I like them both. If I had to rewatch one, I'm going to rewatch the newer one. But I think that's more of a personality thing for me. I thought Kimberly Pierce did phenomenal with it. I really like how Kimberly Pierce handled it, because I mentioned that I was afraid that it would really drive home the bullying point. It didn't. I thought it was really subtle. It didn't beat you over the head with, hey, bullying's bad. It touched on it. It used social media just the right amount. Like, it didn't beat the social media over the head. It didn't throw in all that you can bully in so many more ways now. I thought it was all used subtly enough and just enough to where, yes, it's relevant. It was updated to today's world, but it didn't beat us over the head with it.
It wasn't preachy by any stretch of the imagination, so I guess that's fine. To me, it just seemed, not having seen the remake for, was it Let Me In? As opposed to Let the Right One In.
That might come up later.
I won't belabor the point. But to me, it just seemed like that may have been an unnecessary remake. This one may have been a little more necessary, because at least there were 30-some-odd years in between.
I think the story is more relevant today. I think
with bullying, I think you're
the
right.
The story of Carrie and the message of Carrie, I think, is more relevant today. So I don't think the remake was worthless. But I wish it would have been viewed as kind of a bigger thing. But I mean, I liked it. I liked them both. Overall, Carrie's a good movie. I think no matter which one you're referring to, I think saying Carrie is a good movie is a safe statement.
Sure.
Yeah. But
yeah, they're both good.
Yeah. So that we talked a lot about Carrie. We covered both of them. It's, yeah, spoilers, but who doesn't know the story of Carrie?
The movie's been out for 30 some years.
30.
And they didn't really change any of the plot in this one, so whatever.
Yeah, but before we go, this is we're smack dab in the middle of our 10 Halloween episodes, and we've been trying to give a few horror movies each week to check out. So, Ryan, you want to give me two more essential Halloween viewing movies to check out this week?
Yeah, I will stick with movies, horror classics, in quote-unquote, from 1976. The first one, in kind of a nod to our last week's anthology. Was it last week's anthologies?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. It doesn't matter. Maybe you just listened to it an hour ago. So it was an hour ago's anthology movies, Bloodbath, from 76, directed by Joel Reed, who brought us Bloodsucking Freaks. This movie, not exactly what you would expect from the director of that movie, not nearly as gory. And the acting is not tremendously good, but, you know, what can I say? I am a sucker for the genre. Some of the stories are pretty decent. The execution, not tremendous, but check it out. What the hell? Bloodbath from 1976. There is quite a bit in Carrie about perhaps demonic possession of her, and, you know, she is a child of the devil. Well, 1976 did actually legitimately have a child of the devil, Damien. The Omen, the original Omen, came out in 76. Gregory Peck, really good flick. The sequels really did not hold up, and the remake, as much as I love Julia Stiles, did not hold up either. But I did really kind of enjoy the original Omen. That kid was a creep.
My two, I'm going to stick with kind of a theme. They both tie in multiple ways. I wanted to go with killer females. So the one, why not stick with the author of this one, Misery. If you haven't seen Misery in a while, check out Misery. Kathy Bates, another Oscar-worthy performance from a Stephen King movie. So Misery. And then the other one ties in a couple ways. It's a killer female. It stars Chloe Grace Moretz, and it's a completely unnecessary remake. It is Let Me In. If you've seen Let the Right One In, you've seen Let Me In. But if you haven't seen Let the Right One In, check out Let Me In.
Because you don't have to read.
Yeah, it's so good. And Chloe Grace Moretz is phenomenal in it. Cody Smith McPhee, great. Richard Jenkins. The cast is great. Matt Reeves did a great job directing it. It's a really good movie. It just kind of went unnoticed and underappreciated because it's completely unnecessary. I mean, it's the exact same movie as Let the Right One In, which is phenomenal. But Chloe Grace Moretz has two horrors under her belt where she is...
Or maybe unnecessary.
Maybe unnecessary, and where she is the less the victim and more the perpetrator.
Eh. I guess.
Yeah. So those are our two. What do you think about Carrie? Which do you prefer, the remake or the original? Let us know. MoviesOnUp.com, Twitter, @MoviesOnUp, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, or MoviesOnUp.com. You can check out our show on MoviesOnUp.com.
Or Stitcher. We're on there.
Stitcher,
iTunes,
our RSS feed. There's a link right to it on the website, so you can subscribe however you feel fit. You can find me on Twitter, @DavePacella. You can also listen to me on Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That is @EricandDave on Twitter and EricandDave.com, Eric with a K. Also this week, another show I was a big part of for a while, and I haven't been as much, but Podcast Squared just put out our 200th episode. It was my first episode in a while. It just, we talk about the previous 3 years, the 3 years of podcasting since that show started, because it is a podcast about podcasts. You can check that out at podcastsquared.com.
You can check us out again later this week. We'll be doing our top, and this is kind of a pretentious list, maybe, our top five underappreciated zombie movies.
Or underrated zombie
movies. Or underrated,
our top
whatever.
Five favorite zombie movies that none of them are obvious. So no Night of the Living Deads, no Shaun of the Deads.
No.
We don't know what to call it.
No, so. 28 X amount of time later.
Yeah, so it gets a pretentious title just because we don't know what else to call it. But yeah, that'll be later this week.
But until then,
keep it up.